do, but are not in a way of trying to tempt God, but in a way of applying His word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I was trying to find the words, but you have them. It's in terms of applying His word to situations and seeing if what He said won't happen. Apply His word to situations and see if what He has said won't happen. I tell you, it will. Did I read all of that? Yes. It may be hidden. All right, let's go on from there. Hebrews 9. I'm giving you these to tell you, first of all, it is coming. Second of all, it doesn't have to be a bad time for you. It is coming is to make you want to get out there and do all you can for God. Knowing that it doesn't have to happen to you is to give you hope and peace and have courage. Hebrews 9, we could read a lot of this, but let's go to 27. And it is appointed for men to die once. That scripture is used for a lot of things, to prove a lot of things, but simply what it means is, unless Jesus comes and lifts you up, unless He takes you like He did Enoch or Elijah, that's the end of flesh, is you die. I won't go further with that because I don't want to confuse you, but that's all that means. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Listen to this. Are you listening? Do I have to holler fire? To those who eagerly wait for Him, to those who eagerly, have you seen a child eagerly waiting for something? You know, you tell a little child you got something for them, and they can't be still. Yet. I guess folk can't even know whether we're eagerly waiting God, because we're like, no, but that's not eagerly waiting. But anyway, to those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. In other words, He's not coming to save you from your sin. That's already been done. But now He's going to bring the culmination of salvation, which is glorification. Because you have salvation, you have sanctification, but we are not glorified. How many can look at yourself and know you are not glorified yet? But to those who eagerly await Him, He's going to appear a second time apart from sin. The work of sin, it's already been dealt with, but now for the completion of your salvation, and I'm looking for Him. How many are looking for Him? Oh, let's go quickly. Titus 2, 11 through 13. Are you listening? Say, I'm listening. Say, I think you ought to drink some water. Well, I wouldn't have, but since you said it. What's funny is the Altoid I brought up here is floating in my water. I just thought I'd give you a view from my standpoint up here. It's all good, though. It tastes good. Titus 2, 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. You know, it's not received by all, though. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking, looking, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, gotta read 14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Zealous. Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking for that blessed hope. And these whack out, excuse me, so-called Christian leaders that are trying to take away the hope of Jesus Christ coming back, they're in error. They are in error. He is going to appear, and I am looking for them, but I'm going to tell you something. I'll get to this in just one moment. It's only a couple more down. They're right because He is not coming for them. Did you feel that? That's called the witness of the Spirit. I want you to look at Luke 21. What am I talking about? What time it is? What am I talking about? What you need to do? What is that? Watch. Why? We're all going to face the judgment for our good or for our bad. And so is everybody else. So we've got to do all we can while we can. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. This is Jesus speaking. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. I'm going to tell you something in a moment, and I don't want you to get off on it, but I'm telling you in advance. Here we go. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written might be fulfilled. In other words, there were prophecies about these things happening to Israel. And just as sure as it's written, it's going to happen. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. It's talking about Israel. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. This particular thing that's being referenced, I don't want you to get confused. I'm just telling you, it clearly says that this thing that Jesus was talking about happened before the dispersion. Happened before the dispersion, where the Jews went into all nations. Now, we know that the Jews will become against again, but this where he's talking, let him flee from the housetop, don't let him go back in, happened in 70 AD and then kept happening. It wasn't just one time. It was a prophecy that had its face. Remember a while ago where I said that you may get rid of this one person that's a problem to you, but that same spirit comes in another face. The same thing is true. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The same thing is true with so many prophecies. The prophecy is alive, and it continues being acted out on the stage of the world, but we call it different things. At one point, it was called Hitler. Right now, it's being called Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He is a face that only represents so many more that are hiding their hands. He's not the one to worry about because he's out there talking about it. Some are hiding their hands, but their heart is the destruction of Israel. 7/12/2005. In not many days there will be a changing of the hands who hold the reins of government. It will be said to be a change of time and chance. Make no mistake, this change is orchestrated at the highest level where evil men gather to form plans of terror against the army of the Lord. These men will reign for a season and then will be replaced by a union of three nations who have a common interest, the destruction of Israel. Those who know this plan are seeking all audience of those who can prevent, but they will be slain. Horror is in the hands of the disloyal. One will turn on another, each seeking preeminence. Ultimately, one will prevail. He is not a friend, but is a wolf in the coat of peace. You know him. All eternity now gathers around the point of culmination of all things. You are there. Words will be dispensed which have been placed in you. They are held back for such a time as I have preordained. Mighty words, words of authority, words as weapons against the evil destroyer, that deceiver of nations. The battle is for the words, but my word will prevail, but not without persecution. But persecution is sweet when it leads to restoration of all things. Torment of the soul awaits those who were given the opportunity to instill righteousness into the calamity. Their refusal marks the end of their season. They will still try to operate, but have no authority and are operating as empty vessels. They will not last as a vine cut and yet seems to thrive. So is their fate. It has seemed that I did not see or know, but I have seen, and what I have seen will be open and be revealed to those who have been under the power of deception. The Lord gave me that word, as I said, 7/12/2005. You better wake up. This is where we stand. Now, what's the emphasis there? Words. The battle is for the words. The battle is to keep the word out of your mouth. Because if the word is not there, the power is not there. The battle is for the words. In the flesh, you're going to see it acted out in terms of those that are coming against Israel. Their desire is to destroy the apple of God's eye, but they will not prevail. And the word of God will stand strong. And make no mistake, when Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Son of God, God in flesh, comes back to rule, he will rule from Jerusalem. Why? Because that's what God said. I don't have to understand it, and I don't have to agree with it. I don't disagree with it, but it wouldn't matter much if I did. I'm sorry that I'm loud, but anymore I just have one volume. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And how many know that not many years ago that the nation came back together and a flag again flew over Israel, and it is despised by nations. It only inhabits a small part of what God gave it, but they still despise what it has. But God will defend Israel, and God will defend us. But he is working now through the words that he puts in our mouth. Open your mouth and let God fill it. The times of the Gentiles, when the Gentiles no longer ruled in Jerusalem. They don't rule in Jerusalem, do they? And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. On the earth, distress of nations. Now, Jesus has come forward in prophecy. He's coming forward in what we call time. The sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of earth will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This is not talking about the rapture, because they won't see the rapture. This is talking about after the rapture. He comes back in power and great glory, and guess who will accompany him? Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Read the rest of this. I got to cut out some things. 34, take heed to yourselves, let your heart be weighed down. And that day come on you unexpectedly. 35, for it will come as a snare on all that who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Because anybody that's left on the face of the whole earth is going to be those that weren't taken in the rapture. Do you understand? Everybody that's left is going to have to face this sudden judgment. And then he says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We are living in an exciting time, ladies. The kingdom of God will be spread abroad in not too many days. But there's some bad times ahead. But we have containment. We live in Goshen. And make no mistake, the lover of our souls is going to take us away before the really bad stuff happens. If we were here, we would endure. We would be all right. But the fact is, let me just read a couple more scriptures. We're nearly through. And see, I'm going to let you go as soon as you're over. That made no sense. Matthew 25. So let me know when you're over so I can let you go. In Matthew 25, I won't take the time to read it. It's 1 through 13 talking about the 10 virgins. Jesus gives this parable about the wedding and the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. All virgins, right? I've talked to you about this before, but I want you to understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. 5 of the virgins had oil. They were waiting. And when the call came, the bridegroom is coming, the 5 wise ones got up, they trimmed their lamps. In other words, they fixed it where the flame would be right, and they had oil. And the foolish said, wait, give us your oil. So no, you go buy it. They missed the coming of the bridegroom. This is talking about Christians who are not preparing for the rapture. They are not expecting the glorious appearing, and they are going to be left. I'm telling you, they will be left. Does that mean they're going to go to hell? No. But that means they're going to have to live through some hell. I'm telling you, it's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Jesus himself gave this parable. They were all virgins. He's talking about all, and he goes on. gives one right after another, talking about people that are all in the same situation, what we would call Christians, children of God. Some were looking, some weren't. Some are not going to go in the rapture or the catching away, the escaping of wrath. I don't care what word you want to put on it. The escape from the wrath, some are going to be left. And they're going to have to endure things that nobody wants to endure. But we will be caught up because we are looking for Him. We are eagerly awaiting Him, and we're working like there is no tomorrow. Let me give you the rest of these scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-10. Just write that down. I believe that y'all will read it. Mark 13:28-37, in that talks about the fig tree. The generation of the fig tree. When you see these things begin to happen. And then write down Ephesians 6:18, talking about praying always. Let me read you out some other scriptures right quick. Some I did not get to, but I want these on the tape. Deuteronomy 4:29. Says, when you seek the Lord, you'll find Him when you seek with your whole heart. 1 Chronicles 22:19. If you've got to set your heart to seek the Lord. That's what I've been talking to you about tonight. 2 Chronicles 12:14 said that Rehoboam did evil because he did not set his heart. He did not set his heart. In 2 Chronicles 16:12, it talks about Asa, king of Judah, that he did some good things, but then he was sick and he didn't seek God in his sickness. Look at what time it is, y'all. We have to seek God, not just run around like chickens with our heads cut off. 2 Chronicles 20:3-4, Jehoshaphat determined. It says that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord when he was threatened by the enemy. When you see things going on around you, you got to set your heart, soul, and body, everything aimed towards seeking God. Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. I'll give you the rest of them later on because I'll weary you, but I want you to have a few to take home. I want you to look at it like it's a dessert. I want you to sit down with the Word of God. I want you to ingest it. I want you to digest it. I want you to let it grow in you. Bottom line, everything I've said to you tonight is whether anybody wants to believe it or not, whether they want to accept it or not, whether they agree or not, it don't hurt my feelings one way or the other. We are living in the last days.